now, welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. It's Halloween, and we welcome you on board the program tonight. We may have some guests this hour, but we haven't got anybody booked in this hour, bud.
No, just will be general conversational topics.
I see, general conversational topics.
Well, you are going to fill everybody in on, because it is Halloween, fill everyone in on the Jack the Ripper, the latest on Jack the Ripper.
The latest on Jack the Ripper. That's not a bad topic. The latest on Jap the Ripper. No, it ain't Jap the Ripper, man. Don't get me messed up, okay?
You said it. You know, it's your world, boss. We're.
I get it, bud. Jack the Ripper. I can fill you in on the latest on that one and fill you in on some of the other stories that we've told you guys down through the years here on Halloween. And I think we have those, some of our guests. Dave Olive is going to be with us. Dave is going to be talking about patrolling, as well as Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, talking about patrolling and monitoring some of the malls where the big movie theaters are and some of the movie houses that are showing perhaps Evil Dead or some of the things that are happening. I don't know, you know.
You have Black Mirror horror movies out now?
I don't know what's out, man. You follow that stuff, bud?
Well, I mean, you know, zombie... The zombie attack.
What do you mean the zombie attack? What is that?
Is that just another generic zombie movie?
Well, no, I'm not talking about. I'm talking about Rob Zombie.
Rob Zombie. Has he got another movie out?
Yeah, he's always coming out in movies and stuff.
I saw Rob Zombie's Halloween. That's the last Rob Zombie movie I saw, and I saw that only at the behest of a friend of mine. I'm glad I did, because I thought it was an original. And the guy that played Dr. Loomis in that was Malcolm McDowell. Now, there's a guy, Malcolm McDowell, the actor, is, from the first time I ever saw him, which was in Clockwork Orange, and I was like 19 or 18 or 19 when that movie came out, and I went and I saw Clockwork Orange, so it was like right in the demographic for me, and I thought that guy was fantastic. I said, this guy, McDowell, this guy's going to be a huge star, and there were a lot of people in the movie that were great, and he never, and I don't want to say anything bad, because I still think he's a great actor. But he didn't have the mainstream success.
Well, he didn't have the mainstream success of a Jack Nicholson or Jack Nicholson, because I've been a little bit remiss. Don't look at me like that.
You can't do the French on everything.
Yes, I can do the French on everything. Jack Nicholson,
Okay, Jack Nicholson.
No, Jack Nicholson. Why, I'm not allowed to do the French?
What is it, Margaret, ever all of a sudden you want to do the French? You know, you laid off it for a few weeks, and we were mercifully...
Mercifully, I see.
Well, okay, Jack Nicholson.
Yes, he didn't have the crossover success.
What do you call Malcolm McDowell?
I beg your pardon?
What do you call Malcolm McDowell?
Malcolm McDowell.
Malcolm McDowell.
No, Malcolm McDowell.
Malcolm McDowell.
Oh, look, see, he's shaking his head already. I'm the one that's standing here and needs to be led by the hand to the bathroom. Is that it? And you guys are brain surgeons? Forget it.
You just went...
Forget it. Yes, I did. Forget it.
All right, Margaret, we're not trying to upset you or insult you. I just... Can we lay off the French for 5 seconds here? Now, I know you're going to be singing House of the Rising Sun on Saturday at Hell on Earth. Is that the name of the club?
Yes, everyone, I'll be appearing at Hell on Earth in Palos Verdes for a special gospel night.
Excuse me.
For a special gospel night.
Special gospel night?
Yes, a special gospel night.
What is Hell on Earth?
What is it with you guys? 20 questions, all of us? It's a club. It's a nightclub.
All right, well, we're just wondering if you're having a gospel night at a place called Hell on Earth. It doesn't sound like the kind of place where you're going to have a gospel night, that's all.
Why? It can't be a nightclub with an unusual name. All kinds of clubs are called all kinds of things. House of Blues has gospel breakfasts.
Yeah, but House of Blues sounds like it may even actually fit Hell on Earth. I don't know.
Yeah, well, in any event, I'll be giving you the set list later on.
Okay, so that having been said, Jack Nicholson, yeah, who else?
Well, Jack Nicholson was a big star, Al Pacino. So there were stars in the 70s that Malcolm McDowell, one thought that he might have risen to the heights that they did. But he didn't.
Yes, he didn't. But also, it doesn't negate his talent. It probably says more about his agent or his manager, you know.
What are you talking about?
Well, whoever it was that was telling him what to pick, what projects, and, you know.
Well, you can't hang that on a manager, Phil.
Yeah, you can. You can hang it on some of the people that give these guys advice. You know, oh, don't do that, because that's going to just... That's going to suck on wheels, man. Oh, we also have some news, and try to get to some things that are happy. Here's an Indiana guy that was cleared of killing his family. He was an Indiana State Police trooper who was in prison for 13 years and finally cleared. And it doesn't say, I can't say for sure it was a DNA evidence that did it, but one has to believe it had something to do with it. This is a 13-year prison sentence that was endured by this police officer named David Cam. The jury found him not guilty October 24th in his third murder trial in the 2000 shooting death of his wife Kim and their children, and 7-year-old Brad and 5-year-old Jill. Two earlier convictions were overturned on appeal. The 49-year-old Floyd County man wrote that it was hard to wrap my head around his feelings since the acquittal. On one hand, I had the state of Indiana represented by people I thought were my friends, people who I thought cared for me, trying to take my life away from me, as well as trying to deny justice for my family. On the other hand, there are all of you. He's talking to people who had written him letters and had supported him. Over the last 13 years, I've seen the worst in people, and thanks to all of you, I've seen the best. This is a kind of, you know, don't you think this is like West Memphis 3 thing?
Well, it doesn't have the romance. The West Memphis 3, with three young people against the world, this is, I don't know.
This is what?
Phil, I don't, you know, I'm not taking anything away from the man. It doesn't have the romance of three rebels, three young heavy metal fans.
Oh, you mean this cat didn't get the love of the entertainment community, so it ain't that sexy?
Well, are you going to start to get upset because he didn't get the Dixie Chicks on his side?
Yeah, just because a guy don't have the Dixie Chicks don't mean he don't have, dick.
Don't say, get out.
Sorry. That's pretty good play on words, though.
Yeah. Yeah, but not for the air. Just because he didn't have the Dixie Chicks doesn't mean he didn't have... In any event...
Well, it is true.
All right, so he didn't have the Dixie Chicks. I just wonder sometimes why certain cases capture our imagination. I guess you're right. You know, they were three young guys. But here's a guy, 13 years in prison. He left the state police several months before the slayings, which were investigated by his former colleagues. Cam said he was playing basketball at a church at the time of the slayings. I'm choosing to move forward. I don't want to be consumed by the past. The state, they're not going to take any more of my life that they've already gotten. My focus is the future. He posted this letter to his supporters. An attorney for Nick Cam's parents had no immediate comment. The Wrens are suing David Cam to try to prevent him from recovering an estimated $625,000 life insurance policy. I don't know. So if the guy was, do they know who did it?
There's no mention of that in the story.
That's what they ought to find. I mean, that's what I'd like to... That would really give things a happy ending if they say, this guy is innocent. At least we have... and that's the thing that's kind of... I'm not saying that it makes those guys guilty, but that West Memphis 3 thing, they still can't figure out who the hell it was. I mean, they've got this suspicion about this one guy, whatever the hell that guy's name is, you know? Terry Hobbs, is that it?
Yes, Terry Hobbs. Terry Hobbs is a typical, I would say, white male of that area. There looks to be some inbreeding. Terry Hobbs...
Wait a minute, how can you say that?
Are you kidding?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I think you got to just kind of, you know, give it up on this one.
No, I'm not giving it up on this one. What are you talking about? There looks to be some inbreeding.
I think, all right, if not Hobbs, then the other one, that big, tall...
Yeah, the guy was talking about burning hell.
Whatever.
Well, in any event, that is the prime suspect. Excuse me.
Yes, he looks like a typical male. Looks to be some inbreeding there. Typical, huh? So, what about California? You got any inbreeding out here?
Well, I don't know, Phil. I'll have to check the L.A. City Pound and see what... What do you mean? How dare you? Are you saying that California...
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. California, if they got inbreeding down in Tennessee, you'd be surprised.
Well, if you know something I don't know...
Anyway, guys, we're going to be back here. We've got a little Jack the Ripper to talk about and other things on this Halloween night in the year of our Lord, or of your Lord, of all of our Lords, 2013, the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Get online and get a backstage pass and join us. You got tonight till midnight Pacific, to get a backstage pass and get a free download. And, of course, coming up our Thanksgiving month of November and more goodies from philhenryshow.com. Welcome back to world-famous Phil Henry Show. Look at that. There is a picture of Jenny McCarthy, and she's dressed up as Miley Cyrus's tongue. If you can believe that.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. That's Miley Cyrus's tongue. Just thought, if you guys are watching Phil TV in HD, that's what that is. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com on this Halloween 2013. I was about to give a football score.
You went 20 to 7.
20-7. Patriots win, I guess. I don't know. So we have Dr. Jim Sadler joining us here for a very brief moment because, Dr. Sadler, the Jack the Ripper case has always been one of interest, I guess, for everyone, given the fact that Jack the Ripper's identity has never really been known. There have been a great many ideas proffered about Jack the Ripper and a great many theories, and you being sort of an amateur sleuth like myself, what is your opinion?
I would say, Phil, first of all, as a doctor, I probably have a little bit more of an inside edge than you in terms of just reading the literature and looking at the evidence, because as a doctor, I can look and see what the particulars of a case are, especially from the standpoint of the autopsy. We know from the various autopsy reports of Jack the Ripper that the injuries inflicted on the women who were murdered connote that he had some surgical expertise. This leads us to believe, no doubt, that he was a doctor or perhaps a meat cutter, or I don't think a meat cutter is very likely, though, or more to the point, a surgeon of some kind who might have worked in a morgue or did autopsies or did surgery and therefore has that medical background. And then we have, of course, the idea that it might be a member of the royal family, given that there was a great deal of insanity in the royal family at that time. At least there was one individual in the royal family that was known to be insane, medically certified a lunatic at the time. So in the studies that I've done and the hours that I've spent poring over a great many of these documents, my conclusion is that it was a member, quite possibly a member of a medical staff of the royal family, working at one of the palaces perhaps, and might very well have been an individual covering for a mentally disturbed member of the royal family. So it's very possibly there were two.
See, that is a very interesting thing, that there were two and not one.
Exactly, that there was the mentally unstable member of the royal family selecting the victim, if you will, and then the doctor.
Why would the doctor be involved?
Possibly this member of the royal family is has something on him and has directed him to go with him into the slums in this very impoverished part of London to pick out these different women and murder them.
That is a very interesting theory, Doctor. And I'm saying Doctor because when you said Doctor, I suddenly was thinking of the one of the killers. But it's a very, very interesting, Phil.
Well, I think that it's very interesting. I've heard a different theory, one of late that I really believe believe, and it has nothing to do with two. It has to do with one. It kind of debunks.
Now, what theory is this?
This is the most recent, you might say that this is the most recent investigation that's been done. It was conducted by a retired London police detective and currently active London police inspector or detective. It was done on behalf of, I think, the National Geographic. But what came out of this...
Yeah, well, can I interrupt, Phil?
Go ahead.
These television deals are very, I don't think you should put a lot of credence in them because they're done for the graphic, enjoyment of people.
Let me just tell you if I could.
Yeah, go ahead. But I think the theory that I put forward, that there were two. One of them was a doctor being blackmailed by a mental by a metal case in the royal family, I think, is the...
All right, but let me, if I could just tell you this theory. They believe, given what we know today of serial killers, that serial killers do not like to hunt far afield of where they live. They like a comfortable surrounding, a surrounding that they know.
Yeah.
And so they're more likely to hunt and kill in areas that are familiar to them.
Yes. We've been through this before.
Okay. Let me just finish what I'm saying.
Let Phil finish this, Dr. Sadler, because we may get a good laugh out of it.
Okay. I'm always up for a laugh.
Well, all right, but the theory is this, that he was not a member of the royal family, that he was not a surgeon, that he was not, he was a local man, most likely a man that would live in that area, would be a laborer of some kind, he would be a stevedore perhaps working on the docks, he would be a teamster, he might be someone working in one of the warehouses, and he could very well be a meat cutter.
I've heard these theories. To me, they don't even hold no water.
Hold on. There's one extra thing that probably you won't like. The reinvestigation of these autopsy photographs as well as reports show that Jack the Ripper did not have all that skillful a hand. He did not exhibit any real surgical skill. That is a misconception, a misreading, or perhaps it was some sort of a sensationalizing of the news back then. That he was, in fact, that the horrible, savage, trauma inflicted on these women was done by an individual without any real particular skills when it came to surgery or the cutting of the organic parts of a living thing. So, that's that.
So they debunked that, and who debunked it is who?
Well, this was debunked by these two police officers. To me, it sounded, I believe that this is the most credible of all, because there were a number of suspects who were located in the area. The man was described as having a big black mustache. He was described by some as heavyset. I believe that he was local, that he was not a surgeon, that he was just a local serial murderer, a psychopath who worked in the area, and it's quite possible he either left the area, was killed, or was imprisoned, and...
Okay, well, that's very nice, Phil, but unfortunately, it just doesn't hold water, because...
Why not?
Well, first of all, I would point out that you're talking to a doctor. I am a doctor, so I don't think you can say... Oh, he didn't have the skill of a surgeon to me, and not say something like, I'm sorry, doctor, but, I know you're a doctor, I'm not, but somebody said,
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, I'm not saying I believe that.
Right, this is something that these two cops, is that what you're saying?
Two police officers in London, yeah.
All right, two cops, and cops are wonderful, and Phil, believe me when I tell you, I have nothing but the greatest of respect for the police. But we're talking about a case that's over 100 years old, and everybody knows that cops basically are kind of stupid. They only know...
No, I don't know that that's true. I don't know that that's true.
Well, you don't have to know that it's true, but everyone knows that cops at the very heart and soul are just... They're good guys, but they're real dumb,
What makes them dumb? I mean, there are cops that have solved a lot of crimes and some very difficult crimes.
Well, look, you're talking to a doctor... And I'm telling you that this guy that did this job, whoever this Jack the Ripper is, had surgical skills.
What in these autopsy reports did you see that convinced you that he had surgical skills?
Because he said, I'm going to cut the kidney out of one of them, and he did.
So he knew where the kidney was.
This is 1880, whatever it was. You think people knew where kidneys were then? Other than buying them in the market,
Yeah, that's true. That's about where kidneys could be located by most people, Phil.
Okay, isn't that funny?
Well, I'm not here for your amusement, Mr. Henry. I'm trying to educate you.
You're telling me that in the 1880s, a guy wouldn't know where to find a kidney, or if he was a serial murderer, a guy with just even the most basic of education, if any at all, wouldn't be able to find a kidney on a murder victim after he killed her.
Hold on for a minute. You're arguing with me. I'm the doctor,
Phil, he is the doctor. You're not. And he is reporting on the autopsy reports that he read. You're going on some as the doctor said, a couple of flat feet.
Well, watch with the flat feet thing.
What are you, related to cops or something?
No, I'm not related to cops. Hold on, I have to take a break. I'm not related to cops. I'm just trying to tell you guys, you know, let's have a little bit of, let's have some respect for crying out loud. Good Lord.
Phil, we are having respect. You don't have respect for the doc. He said some nutcase in the royal family blackmailed a doctor and they went down to wherever this was.
Whitechapel.
What is it?
Whitechapel. It's a section of London.
Well, whatever. And he directed him to go and...
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. More talk about Jack the Ripper. And there is Jenny McCarthy as a tongue. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And welcome back to the program here. What happened to all of my dungeon backdrop there, bud?
Yeah, I got to figure it out.
Anyway, welcome those of you watching us on Phil TV in HD. We did show just briefly there, just flashed on the screen. FAA says flyers can use devices during all phases of flight. Man, that's some heavy news, huh?
Are you kidding? Does that mean that we're not going to have the flight attendant telling us to turn things off?
That's what I'm reading. But first, let's get back to Dr. Jim Sadler, who is... talking with us here about this, the passion and the fascination we have with the Jack the Ripper case that goes on now well over 100 years. This is back when, Dr. Sadler?
Well, the Jack the Ripper murders, as you mentioned, Phil, in the Whitechapel area of London, was back in the 1880s and was obviously investigated by the London Metropolitan Police. The lead detective was a man by the name of Frederick Aberline, who retired from the London Metropolitan Police and wrote his memoirs in the early part of the 20th century. And he named as a suspect, I believe, an individual that I guess would make you happy. He didn't buy into the royal family story either. But again, he was, you know.
Yeah, he was a dumb cop.
Well, look, Phil, you know, there's no point in getting like that.
Phil, don't be argumentative. He was simply saying...
Hold on, Margaret. I mean, that's what you said, these two cops in London, you know.
These are two modern cops, but this cop, Aberline, was... Well, he was a cop, too. And unfortunately, he wasn't probably even as good as these cops now because he didn't have the forensic science and didn't have the... You know,
No, and without the forensic science and without even so much as fingerprints in those days, he narrowed it down to a local guy as well. So you call him a dumb cop.
Whoa, hold on. He narrowed it down to a local guy as well doesn't mean that he's smart. That's your opinion, and I've already told you. Thank you very much for your... I'm the doctor, and I'm saying to you that it was a surgeon who was being blackmailed by this nut in the royal family. And
so the nut in the royal family was who?
I don't know. There was somebody in the royal family. You know, I'm sorry.
Not another night of this.
What?
Nothing. What is the problem?
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Dr. Sadler, what is your problem?
What do you mean, what is my problem? Doctor, what's wrong?
Well, I came on to talk about this. You're just telling me I can't say it.
I can't, I'm telling you what?
You're telling me that wrong. I'm the doctor.
Yes, you're the doctor. Fine. I just disagree. Look at you're right. You're probably you're the expert. I just have an opinion.
Well, why don't you just have your opinion?
Dr. Sadler, I'm so sorry that we were rude to you.
We weren't rude to him.
Yes, you were.
No, I wasn't.
Well, I said that you were...
You hang up on that guy. I'm freaking dying over here with that.
What?
My God, Phil, what happened to your Christian compassion?
I want to know what's going on with these guests. Last night I had two of them start bawling, and tonight now I got another one. This is Halloween. This is a sacred night. This is a great American celebration. This is like,
Well, either it's great American celebration, or it's Christmas, or it's... What is it?
It's a fun... It should be a fun night, and we should all be eating candy and having fun. And I got this guy bawling.
Call back.
Yes, Dr. Sadler.
I'm just saying, I didn't mean for you to hang up on me. What's that about?
Are you going to keep crying? I mean...
Why can't I cry? I feel like you were offended to me.
Well, what are you bawling about, man? I mean, I'm just saying that I have a different opinion of you.
Oh, a different opinion of me? God, what?
I don't want that guy back on the air. He's bugging me. He's creeping me out. I don't want him back on the air.
I don't blame you, man. Guy balling like a little tiny baby.
Yeah, but you got to take his opinion into consideration.
That's all I'm saying, Phil. Take the man's opinion into consideration.
I took his opinion into consideration. I'm not even saying he's wrong. I thought this was a give and take and an exchange of information and discussion. I'm not saying that he's not smarter than me or anything else. This is something that I heard.
And there's nothing that the doctor said that changed your mind. I think that's what hurts him.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. I think if you called him up and said, you know what, doctor, you're right. I see the error of my ways.
And how do you know he's not listening to us right now?
I'm sure that he is listening to us right now, but he is so self-consumed and narcissistic, he's not really hearing. Even though he's listening, he's not hearing.
Whatever that means.
I'm calling back.
Call him back.
Wait a minute.
No, just call him back.
Okay.
You know, one of these days, I'm going to figure out how to run a radio show by myself without... Dr. Sadler?
Yes.
You know something? I've been thinking about what you said, and I realized that I was being extremely arrogant. I am not a doctor. You're right. I'm not any of those things. I'm just a talk show host, and I think that you probably had a far better, and probably have a far better view of this, Jack the Ripper. And I totally think it's credible that it was a doctor being blackmailed by a lunatic in the royal family. Entirely credible.
Well, you know, Phil, let's just chalk it up to a misunderstanding.
Yeah, that's... absolutely. I didn't mean any disrespect.
Oh, I appreciate that. I appreciate it very much. I think that you should consider that there are more opinions in this world, just as the man said of Dracula. There are things in this world we can only conceive of. And I think the same is true of Jim the Ripper, well, not Jim the Ripper, Jack the Ripper. There was a case called Jim the Ripper, which was a very interesting case in London at the same time, but it didn't get the same play as Jack the Ripper because it was less gruesome.
But there was another serial killer?
There was another serial killer in London at the time, Jim the Ripper, yeah, but it didn't take off the way the Jack the Ripper story did. But
how do they know it could have been the same guy?
No, I don't think it was the same guy because Jack the Ripper was a guy that worked, as they say, with this nut from the royal family, or vice versa. Jack the Ripper was two guys. You almost could say to Jack and Ripper, there were two of them, Jack and the Ripper, if you wanted to call him that.
Well, who do you think did the actual killing?
I think the guy that did the killing was the surgeon who was the nut would say, there, go. And direct him, and then he had to go out and butcher her up, and then for the pleasure and the glee of this royal family member, and then he'd come back into the carriage, and they go back to the castle, or where, not the castle, but whatever they call it.
The palace.
What is it called?
The palace.
Yeah, okay, the palace. Now, at the same time in London, there was Jim the Ripper. Jim the Ripper was quite obviously was not going to get the same play that Jack the Ripper was getting, because Jim the Ripper was killing pets. And it, as bad as that sounds, and it's really funny, Phil, you get more people having sympathy for dead animals than they do for dead human beings, which I think is a testament to the human, to our humanity, to be honest with you.
Is it really? I find that really curious. I mean, wouldn't we feel more devastated by the death of people? I'm sure that we do, but I know what you're saying. We get almost crazy when we think of poor animals dying.
Well, Jim the Ripper was not a ripper. Jim the Ripper was euthanizing these animals. And it was at a time when you didn't see a lot of that.
Jim the Ripper was what? He was euthanizing them?
Yeah, he was going around and euthanizing these animals with a very basic phenobarbital. It's not that, that time had not been developed, but it was a very rudimentary form of this, with a syringe, and killing them that way.
Well, then how did he get the name Ripper?
It was a name given to him by someone writing to the newspaper saying, I don't know if you know about this, but there's a bunch of killings going on out here. I think it was in St. John's Wood. It was a very upscale area. And it may not be of humans, but we're finding a lot of dead cats and dogs. We think we've got our own, you know, Jack the Ripper, only we'll call him Jim the Ripper. And someone said, well, is he ripping? Or is he actually stabbing? He said, no, he's euthanizing them. But the newspaper didn't want to run with Jim the Euthanizer or something like this.
And this sounds like a joke.
Yes, are you sure this happened?
Well, I can look at, I mean, I've seen the newspaper reports, yes.
This isn't an April Fool's thing.
No, you mean from the 19th century?
No, like now.
No, this was something that had, the newspapers at that time loved the headlines, and they loved to create a headline that was going to grab the headline, well, not grab, they loved to grab a headline that was going to create the headlines. What am I trying to say?
They love to create headlines that would get people to read.
Yeah. And so they came up with Jim the Ripper and didn't take off, didn't work. The guy that came up with it was fired. He was a reporter by the name of Parker Pothrow, P-O-T-H-R-O-W. Parker was the first name. He said Jim the Ripper, and the city editor didn't like it. They tried it, and finally he was fired by the senior editor in the department, and he went off, and I think he eventually settled in Scotland and was a sports writer for a number of years at a time when there were soccer clubs, but there wasn't a whole lot of work in Scotland for that. They had a few clubs, but nothing.
Parker Pothrow, and he came up with Jim the Ripper, and it didn't take off, so they fired him.
Right.
And he went up to Scotland and became a sports writer.
Yes, in the 1890s.
In the 1890s, and they only had a few football clubs at that time.
Just a few. The Scottish League was not what it is today. The Scottish League is very big now.
Yes, the Scottish Premier League is very big.
Oh, well, I'm sure it is.
What's with the smart ass?
Look, Doc, I've already talked to you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
If you're balling, man.
What do you want me to do?
What's your problem?
My problem is this. I'd like to leave and go home and drink. This show tonight is going to... Either I leave now and go home and drink, or I'm going to start drinking here. And good thing I just walk home at night, because if I was driving...
What do you want to drink for?
Because this show's driving me to drink. I don't want to talk to anybody else that's bawling, okay, if you don't mind.
Yeah, that Dr. Sadler, man.
Well, I think he was trying... I understand what you're saying now. I agree with him on Jack the Ripper. Jim the Ripper.
And the guy who euthanized cats and dogs, and it didn't take off, and so he was fired, and he went to become a sports writer in Scotland. Yeah, okay.
What's his name?
Parker Pothrow, is that it?
I thought it was Parker Poth... Yes, Parker Pothrow.
Pothrow is what he said.
What was it again?
I'll tell you during the break. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com, and don't forget, we're online at philhenryshow.com with... The Bobby Dooley Podcast, it's under the section that says Free Stuff. If you're a subscriber, you get our daily classic podcast. There's 267 of those babies ready to go, ready to be listened to by you, including the full shows behind those great classic podcasts, 5,000 hours. Backstage Pass to PhilHenryShow.com is the best buy online other than a porn site. We'll be right back.
Oh, that's great.
Hey, welcome to the Phil Henry Show here, final segment here, and I got to tighten those up, bud.
Tighten up what?
Tighten those cues up, baby. When you hear Matt count it down and we're ready to rock and roll, I want to hear that music kick in like a jukebox, Jack. I don't want you sitting around thumbing it and thinking about Jack the Ripper or Jim the Ripper or Jim the Euthanizer.
Don't you think it's kind of interesting, all the stuff the guy said?
Yeah, that's great. I don't think it's a bunch of hooey, but I'm telling you, the guy that I watched on TV... These two cops had it down. It was the most sensible thing that I had seen. They were bringing into the equation all of the things that we've learned about the behavior of serial killers, about the behavior of these psychopathic predator killers over the many, many decades that the cops have tracked them and arrested them and so on and so forth, prosecuted them, the number of times they've sat down in the offices of criminal psychologists and talk to these people, and you learn about the psychopathic personality and their habits, and they all have something in common. They all have something in common. Now, there is a guy that just got busted, and he took his own life in prison, not that nut in Cleveland that had those three women, a different guy by the name of Israel Keyes. Do you know this guy's name?
Who?
Israel Keyes?
It sounds like a guy on the Moby Dick.
Sounds like a guy on the Moby Dick.
Yeah, but shit.
That's the name of the whale, okay?
Well, who is this guy?
This guy was a serial killer who was finally captured in Texas And he was captured after he made some ridiculously stupid blunder. I forget what it was. He's one of these guys that thought he was really going to outwit everybody. And what he did, he lived, I think, in Alaska or in Washington, but he traveled to other states to commit his crimes. He traveled to Vermont. He traveled to New York. He traveled to, I think, Ohio. He was eventually arrested by Ohio authorities for a murder he committed in Ohio. And this guy was a whole new... I'd never heard of a guy doing this, a serial murderer doing this, but he traveled by plane to these various spots. He had a murder kit, if you will.
Oh, my God. What's a murder kit?
This was a kit in which he had masking tape, a gun, rope, all the things that these freaks have. And he had this buried or otherwise stored in an area in New York State. So this guy has brought to the fore a whole other kind of guy, a serial murderer that travels to different places. But it still doesn't negate the reality, which is they want to be comfortable wherever, and they want to know the area that they are they're committing these murders in. Now, this guy, Israel Keyes, it was discovered, had done work in some of these different areas, so he was familiar with them. But he was traveling out of state because he had figured out, at least to that extent, that cops generally believe a guy's local. Well, this guy wasn't local. This Israel Keyes guy wasn't local, but he was local to the extent that he was familiar with and comfortable in these different places. And he'd already sort of planned where he was going and what he was going to do, and he had his tools there, and very strange guy, man. And I saw the interrogation of this guy on, it was on some videos on YouTube, and he eventually killed himself. Which, by the way, Ohio, nice going. You guys are so good with these serious headline murderers. They go into jail, and they sit in a prison cell for, oh, I don't know, maybe 72 hours, and then they hang themselves. So nice.
Those were both in Ohio?
Both of them.
What is with those cops up there? Boy, you don't like Dr. Sadler saying they're stupid, but...
I don't think it's about being stupid cops. I think that has more to do with the people that are the jailers. I don't know what the story is there in Ohio. It's two, man, two high-profile killers that have gotten away with... that have gotten away from the justice of the people. Because when those guys kill themselves, it's a psychopath statement. It's their final statement, which is, I control my life, you don't. I will call the shots as to when I die, you won't. And we're left to console ourselves with things like, well, he took a coward's way out. Yeah, well, you know, sure. I mean, he did what he wanted to do. He said, you aren't going to kill me. I'll kill myself before you get to kill me. It happens all the time. And it's probably the calling card of a psychopath in a lot of ways, that they ultimately take their own lives rather than have be an animal in a cage. Look at Adolf Hitler. Same thing. So
what about this Jack the Ripper theory that you have, which is that the man...
Well,
hold on. I'm not done yet, Phil. I want to... The man that did the killings of the women... Never mind. I'm bored.
Yeah, you're bored. Yeah, that's nice, Margaret. These were women who were killed. You're singing a song, A House of the Rising Sun, on Saturday. Margaret!
I'm in the bathroom.
She's singing a song Saturday night, House of the Rising Sun, about, what did she say the other night?
Yeah, said she had to high step through the sewage. She had to high step it out of the sewer.
Wait a second. Don't talk about me when I'm not... I said I had to high step it through sewage, yes.
Right, and you're singing House of the Rising Sun.
Yes.
Well, I'm talking about women in the 19th century in London who were, good Lord, these women were prostitutes. Can you imagine the life they had? There wasn't any awareness back then about women being abused. There wasn't any awareness about anything. So they're at the mercy of a pimp. They're getting beat up by husbands and boyfriends. They're alcoholics, drug addicts. And then, to top it all off, as they're out there trying to survive, they got Jack the Ripper hanging around. Nice one, you know.
Well, what are you saying? Are you blaming me for that?
Of course I'm not blaming you, but you're getting up and going to the bathroom.
Well, excuse me for needing to take a dump.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Phil, don't dismiss me like I'm some kid delivering prescriptions for a pharmacy. Yeah, go ahead. Just, you know.
All right. Thank you.
Now may I go?
Go ahead. Anyway, this guy, this Jack the Ripper,
Don't talk about things in a relaxed...
Can you get out of here, Margaret, and go to the bathroom?
What?
This guy ripped the tailor. Get out of here.
What about ripped? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, knock it off with the rip jokes. Jack the Ripper, this cat, they believe now, was local to the area, was a common working man. He wasn't a doctor. He wasn't in the freaking royal family. He wasn't a this and he wasn't a that. He was a common stiff living down there in that area. They even pinpointed where they think maybe he lived. It was within blocks of where these murders were committed. And the guy was a foreigner. They think he was this Polish guy that had been seen in the area and was considered to be a bit of a danger or a bit of a just a bit of an odd bird. And then there was the fact that this guy was spotted. At least one or two people identified this heavyset guy with the mustache, and this also comports with a person living in the area that the police were interested in. So, you know, this was a fantastic show. I recommend it. World famous Phil Henry Show. We will be back with hour number two. And don't forget, philhenryshow.com. Get a podcast of the show tomorrow.
philhenryshow.com.
Right.
Can I say something? Are you still on the air?
Yes, we're on the air.
Oh, never mind.